sports, politics, life. Amazing Garage Floors presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at AmazingGarageFloors.net.
It's easy to be a Chiefs fan, but it's hard sometimes to remember that it's not supposed to be this easy. The NFL is a very difficult league. Parity rules. Every single rule, regulation, draft pick, everything set up, scheduling difficulty, is set up specifically to make it hard for the best teams to repeat being the best teams, and for the worst teams to climb the ladder and be good. We often forget this as Chiefs fans on this historic run that they're going through. We documented on the podcast yesterday that the Chiefs have set a 55-year-old NFL record by having 35 straight games where if they lost, and they've only lost six of them, by 4 points or less. I mean, they're just tearing through these things. The consecutive AFC title games at Arrowhead Stadium has never been done before. It's one thing after another. There's two Super Bowl trophies. It probably could and should be more, but that reflects how difficult it is to actually win a Super Bowl. Then you have an opening night like the Chiefs did against the Lions, and everybody panics. We all thought, is this over? Is this the end? Are they spoiled? Do they not have the drive? Do they not have the determination? Then we watch sort of a new-look Chiefs team in week two go to Jacksonville and play defense that was so inspirational and almost made you cry. It's been a long time since the Chiefs had a really good defense, and it looks like they may have a really good defense based on a tremendous linebacking core. Oh, yeah, Chris Jones is a great player. Trent McDuffie, L'Jarius Sneed are both good in the secondary. There's good players all over, but it's the linebackers that are making the big difference for this team. So it was hard. It was a difficult win. The Chiefs' offense was sluggish. They made mistakes all day. They did dumb things and got personal fouls, but they came away with a win. And then as the week goes on, the silver platter appears. And it's just sitting right there. And it looks so tempting and so tasty and so easy and so good. This Bears game is just sitting on a silver platter for the Chiefs. The Bears are awful. They're 0-2. The Chiefs lost their first game at home. It's the perfect storm. This game looks completely and totally easy. Now, normally this is where I say, remember, this is the NFL. And when you think it's going to be easy, it can be the hardest. Because if the Chiefs are thinking that way, if they're thinking, okay, the next stretch of games, this is just going to be remarkable. We're going to have a great time. We've got the Bears, the Jets. We've got the Broncos a couple of times before the end of October. These look like games against teams without quarterbacks, games that should be relatively easy to win. They may feature a good defensive team, but hey, we've got Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs are going to get better offensively every week. And if the Chiefs are going to play great defense, when they play against teams with bad quarterbacks, it should flat out be ugly because they faced two good quarterbacks so far. Not great, but two good ones. And the Chiefs have looked outstanding. Enter the Chicago Bears. And I got to tell you, I've been covering this team forever. I can never remember a game. You're going to hate this. You're going to think I'm jinxing this game. You are going to hate this. I can never remember a game where I was more convinced that the Chiefs were going to win and beat somebody by double digits and maybe even completely embarrass them and have scrubs out on the field in the fourth quarter than this one. The Bears are awful. They're in complete and total chaos. Justin Fields, the quarterback, is terrible so far this year. He's never been very good, in my opinion. He's a running quarterback that I guess can throw a little bit, but I'm not sure what they see in him in Chicago. Poor Matt Eberflus, who was a longtime coach at Mizzou, I think is a good enough coach, but he's in a terrible spot here. The Bears aren't good. Their defensive coordinator, Alan Williams, just resigned. Williams says it's for health and family reasons. Okay, well, let me tell you what happened to the Bears' defense last week, and I'll let you decide. Baker Mayfield was turned into John Elway by the Bears' defense. He threw for 317, touchdowns everywhere. The lowly Bucs with Baker Mayfield, not lowly Bucs, the lowly Bucs offense, which we know is totally strapped, unloads for 27 easy points against the Bears. Everything's easy. They don't get pressure. Their secondary's no good. You can throw on them all day long, and Baker Mayfield scrambled around, threw the ball, and looked like John Elway. A mini John Elway, but he looked like John Elway because the Bears' defense stinks. It's really bad. And so two games in, the coordinator's gone. And they say he resigned for health and family reasons. Okay, I'm not on the inside. I don't know. All I know is the Bears' defense is awful, and the defensive coordinator is out. Justin Fields is asked about the problems the Bears are having, and he makes some crack about the coaches, that it's robotic, that there's too much information here. Just let me play the way I've always played, and they're not letting me do this. Then he has to walk them back, and he says, quote, I'm not blaming anything on the coaches. After he blamed the coaching, the quarterback is now saying, I'm not blaming the coaching. This is what's going on in Chicago. This is absolutely team turmoil. 14 of 22 punts, drives this year, have ended with punts on a drive that had either a sack or a penalty. So more than half their drives end with a punt after a sack or a penalty. This is a dumb team, and it's an inept team. This is a complete and utter mismatch. Justin Fields is terrible. He has 4 turnovers and 3 touchdowns this year. He's 25th in the league of yards per play efficiency at quarterback. This is the best one. Justin Fields, the rushing quarterback, who had 1,000 yards last year, has 62 yards rushing. As defenses are simply saying, we're not going to let him run on us, and let's see what else he can do. He has 62 yards rushing this year. Patrick Mahomes has 75. It's like 20% more. Patrick Mahomes has 20% more rushing yards than Justin Fields. Justin Fields, for the Chicago Bears, as a starting quarterback, 27 starts, is 5-22. This is a bad quarterback, a bad football team. He's saying the wrong things. Teammates are pointing at each other. The offense is pointing at the defense. The defense is pointing at the offense. We've seen this before. We've seen it in Kansas City. Think of the Todd Haley years. There were some Gunther Cunningham years. There was a Herm Edwards year. Think of some of those years. Romeo Crennel. And I've seen it, man. And when one side of the ball starts pointing the finger at the other, you're not going to beat anybody. The Chiefs are big favorites in this game. And they have a bad injury report, the Chiefs do. But it's a great week to have a poor injury report, because the Chiefs can be hobbled this week and beat this team. I only put this reminder out there that it's never easy in the NFL. And the other guys are getting paid millions of dollars too. My God, I can never remember a mismatch like this. I can't. Justin Fields right now, through 2 games in the history of the NFL, has the 4th shortest pass length in history through 2 games. That means when he does throw it, he's dumping it to the running back. That's all they got. There is nothing to like about this Bears team right now. And imagine if Patrick Mahomes had said, well, the coaching's robotic, and I feel like there is a little too much information, and maybe we should just go play. How do you think that would go over in Kansas City? See, the Bears are the team where the players are in charge. The players make the money. The coaches come and go. The ownership, the front office, the personnel, it's all just a boat drifting out at sea. And it has been for years and years and years. And they make terrible decisions, like trade away the number one draft pick because they have Justin Fields on the roster and think he's a guy. You can't help him. It's simply a reminder that it's never supposed to be this easy, but this looks easy this week, folks. This looks like 37-13 to me. The Chiefs just roll the Bears Sunday at Arrowhead. Before we get to the injury report, I want to let you know that the podcast, KKHI, is brought to you by Finch Knife Company. They're featuring the new series, Stinger. Oh, you're going to love the Stinger. It's only available online. It's not in the stores yet. It will eventually be there, I think. But if you want to get it, it's available Friday. It is available Friday. FinchKnifeCo.com. The Stinger pocket knife is awesome. It's an homage to all those flying critters that sting us. And yep, right there on their little ad on the website, there's a wasp. FinchKnifeCo.com. Sting back with a stinger. Keep life from getting dull at Finch Knife Company. Buck Disposal, the new company from Ron Buck and Buck Roofing. Buck Disposal will take care of all your needs when you are remodeling, moving, cleaning. Maybe you work for the city and you need the municipality needs large dumpsters. That's what this is. Landscaping companies, tree removal, Saturday and Sunday availability if necessary. This is service, service, service. I've had several emails from people saying, Ron's right. The companies that do these disposal dumpsters in Kansas City are all corporate. They're all out of town and their service sucks. They're a pain in the rear and you basically work on their schedule. Not anymore. Buck Disposal is here. Online at buckdisposal.com, 913-242-7695. buckdisposal.com. That's buckdisposal.com. The greatest ideas are born out of necessity. Ron does all these roofs all over town, takes off all the old roofing, they throw them in dumpsters and they haul them off. And he was hiring other companies that weren't reliable. He said, I'm going to get my own dumpsters. I'll have mine on my job site and I'll rent them out to other people who need them. Heck, other roofers can use Buck Disposal. He don't care. It's a separate company. buckdisposal.com. Oh, B-Stock's got some beauties this weekend. If you're looking for a new television, how about a Sony X80K 65-inch for just $369? Woo, that is big-time stuff. The Apple iPad sale continues, $299. iPads, KKHI iPad is the code if you buy it online. KKHI iPad is the code for listeners to get $30 off on the website. Flash sale, currently Dell Latitude 5310. These are great computers. Factory sealed, great Dell warranty, $539. Appliances are on the showroom floor now. They got refrigerators, washers, dryers, laundry pedestals, microwaves, even ovens and stoves. They're ready to make crazy deals on these. Speak with a sales associate today, and they'll even help set you up with delivery. And pay with Affirm. Affirm lets you buy now and pay later with flexible payment plans without hidden fees or gimmicks. BeStock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Okay, the Chiefs injury list looks like this. It was not good on Wednesday. Five players out, four of them basically starters. Kadarius Toney was out with a toe. Nick Bolton's out with an ankle. Pacheco's out with a hamstring. Willie Gay's out with a quad. And Richie James, the kick returner's out with an MCL. Richie James is going to be out for a while with the knee injury. It looks like Justin Watson's going to replace him as the kick returner. Toney's toe, Bolton's ankle, Pacheco's hamstring, Willie Gay's quad. Any or all could play. Just guessing based on injuries, if CEH is back this week and healthy, maybe Pacheco gives the hamstring another week off. It depends on what kind of hamstring problem it is. Kadarius Toney and a bad toe, he should be playing. Nick Bolton with his ankle, I'd bet the ranch he's playing. That guy's tough. He's just going to go play. Willie Gay with a quad? I don't know. You just don't know the severity of these things, but they're kind of day-to-day at this point and questionable for the game on Sunday, so the Chiefs don't have the best injury report going this week. Thank goodness it's just the Bears. And thank goodness next week the Jets game doesn't have Aaron Rodgers. We love that part about the way the schedule has unfolded for the Chiefs, and they should go on a real nice run here. I mean, it's going to be surprising if the Chiefs aren't at least like 6-7-2 near the halfway mark. So that is out there for the Chiefs. No shocker here at all on Wednesday. The Royals make a big announcement. Well, they win again. 7 out of 8. Nelson Velasquez, this guy they picked up at the trade deadline, is just on a home run tear. The Royals have found a real slugger. This cannot be some little 6-8 week hot streak. This guy, when he hits it, it's just different. It goes. Nelson Velasquez is on a tear hitting home runs for the Royals, and they've won 7 out of 8. But the team, very quietly, because that's what you do when you're poorly run. You state bold things and great things are going to happen, and then when they're not, you very quietly tell everyone that you're not going to be announcing your stadium site like you said you were. Yeah, the Royals said they were going to announce their site by the end of September. That's off. That's off. Not going to happen. Why? Well, I think the Royals thought they'd applied enough pressure to Kansas City, Missouri, and Jackson County to keep this thing in Jackson County and put it downtown. But now, just like me, okay? Nobody likes the East Village site. There is no East Village. It's a parking lot by the police HQ, okay? And it's on a freeway, and across the freeway is the worst crime district in the city. Zip code. Nobody likes this site. Nobody could like this site. It makes no sense. None of it. Southwest Boulevard makes more sense. Going a half a mile away from downtown on off of I-35 there on Southwest Boulevard. Buy up the land, build it there, have a beautiful shot into downtown and the spires above Bartle Hall and the Darth Vader building and all those things. You could still do that, Royals. You can still do it. That's in Missouri. That's got to be Jackson County, right? You could still do it. Will it be harder? Yeah, it'll be harder, but it'll be better. Way better than the East Village. It creates something new. Yes, please. Look, I like the North Kansas City site. They have to be the favorite right now. And that's probably why there's a delay. The Royals like the fact that the 3/8 sales tax is almost an automatic because you go to the voters and you say, we're just going to continue this. It's not a new tax. Just continue this. They like that. Now, how much they'd get from the city and the state is anybody's guess. As we talked about yesterday, I think they're still at least $700 million short of building their stadium. There's just too much. What? Here's the question. How dumb are you to say we will have a decision by the end of September and announce it? That's just dumb. Just when you have a decision, announce it. And the Royals have screwed this up every possible way. And it's sort of a reflection of who and what they are. Losing 100 games doesn't help. It shouldn't be the deciding factor on whether or not, as a taxpayer, you want to vote yes or no on something like this. The wins and losses shouldn't be the deciding factor. What the team is doing now, it's what does this mean for the city? What does it mean for the club in the future? Is it good for your hometown? Do you think the Royals are a valuable commodity, need to remain viable in our community? Do you want them to go to a different county? These are all factors for voters, but the wins and losses really shouldn't be. But the bottom line is the wins and losses are. And maybe waiting until December is a good idea when people have forgotten how bad the Royals are. Maybe they make a couple trades. Maybe there's a free agent signing. Maybe people get a little more excited. And then you come up with a plan and put something on a spring ballot. Maybe. We'll see. The Royals aren't very good at any of this. No decision on the location this month. High school football is always fun. People love going to high school football games. My favorite, mine's really simple. I used to like it because they poured really cold Diet Cokes out of those old fountain machines with no ice, but it came out ice cold. Remember that? Just like, oh, ice cold Diet Coke or Coca-Cola when you were a kid or Pepsi. It doesn't matter. And fresh popcorn. Oh, yeah. Friday night, popcorn and ice cold soda. Watching high school football. How good is that? That was fun. And I did it as a parent. Oh, that was fun, too. Everybody loves high school. Friday night lights. Who doesn't love a great high school football game? It's pure. The kids play hard. High school kids are infectious and fun to be around. They have this energy that's different than other energy. Different than college or pro energy. It's fun. High school football is great, right? We love Friday Night Lights. Not at Wyandotte High School, we don't. No, at Wyandotte High School, night games are now banned. The Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools, after gunfire erupted last week at the Wyandotte game, has decided out of an abundance of caution, we should play these things during the daylight hours. So Wyandotte gets to play at 5 o'clock on Friday. Out of an abundance of caution, you know, because there was gunplay at the high school game. Jeez. You know, I say that tongue in cheek, and I shouldn't. It's all part of the bigger problem in this country, and it's going to get worse. It's what happens in socialist countries. It's what happens in Venezuela. It's what happens in all of these places that we've described over the years where the leaders have done lockdowns and mandates, and the people are on edge, and they don't like being bossed around, and their liberties and freedoms are taken away, and one by one, people get madder and madder and madder, and some people have guns and go to high school games and fire them off. It's true. There you go. Wyandotte High School, 5 p.m. kickoff on Friday to do it during the daylight hours. All right, the news coming up is brought to you by Amini's at 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. This is Amini's, online at Amini's.com. You know they have all the good stuff. They have the best stuff. Why wouldn't you get to Amini's this weekend and check it all out for your home? Make it more livable and more fun at Amini's, online at Amini's.com. 105th and Metcalf, also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. Ticketsforless.com. Want to see the Chiefs and Bears? I'm thinking about getting some tickets. Thinking about going. I'm going to Manhattan and spending the night Saturday night with a friend and going to the game. But the Chiefs don't play until 3. And I may come back in the morning. Jessica's kicking around the idea of maybe going to the Chiefs game on Sunday. This is an easy answer for us. When it's time, it's ticketsforless.com. We use the promo code KKHI because there's this podcast out there, this local dude, and the biggest possible discount at ticketsforless.com is the podcast promo code KKHI. So many of you are using it. Thank you. That really means a lot to us. And ticketsforless.com is awesome. You want to go to a Chiefs game, or if you just need a parking pass, maybe somebody gave you tickets, but you don't have parking. Go to ticketsforless.com. I mean, you'll save like $3 or $4 on your parking. It doesn't sound like much, but it's easy. It's right there in your phone. Why wouldn't you pay for half a beer? ticketsforless.com. Your promo code is KKHI, Chiefs and Bears Sunday. And Cross Kitchens KC is your remodeler. Whether it's something simple like new countertops or refinishing cabinets or completely remodeling a level of your house like my friend T-Bone did, Cross Kitchens can handle any job, big or small. CrossKitchensKC.com, 816-898-7047. We did a whole patron podcast yesterday on Merrick Garland's fiasco in front of the House Judiciary Committee. I love doing that. When I see things, I think sometimes I'm a little bit more passionate. Like, I'm not as passionate about this today as I was yesterday while I was watching it. So that's one of the benefits of being a patron, is maybe you get, you know, a little more amped up, Kevin, from time to time. As things are occurring, I like to do, on the patron podcast, breaking news, things that are happening during the day. Usually these come out in the afternoon or early evening. I'll put those up. And they're kind of a reaction to something that just happened. Most people who listen to the patron podcast listen right away, because it's something that's occurring or just occurred. Sometimes we do them after Chiefs games, things like that. So it's kind of fun to do those. And yesterday I was really fired up about this Merrick Garland testimony. He gets in front of the House and he was a fool. He insulted the intelligence of Americans. He apparently has forgotten everything. One of two things. Merrick Garland's either forgotten everything or he's so inept he never learned anything. It's one of the two. Because he wasn't saying anything. It was insulting. At one point, Thomas Massie, the congressman from Kentucky, got into an exchange about January 6th, Ray Epps and these others, and asked him how many FBI plants were in the crowd inspiring people to rush the Capitol and go inside. Nothing. He played a tape. He says, well, here's what you said 2 years ago when we asked you that. And now here's what you said today. And what he said today was, I don't know. And Massie says, you may have just perjured yourself. Because now it's like two different testimonies 2 years apart on that. But the big moment for me, the biggest moment for me, because I look at this all in the context. If we accuse them of it all being political, we have to look at what the Republicans now, what they're doing is being political. We have to. There's no other way to do it other than think this is political. So if that's what it's all about getting Trump elected. As far as I'm concerned, that's it. It's about getting Trump. So the biggest moment for Trump's election occurred when Merrick Garland, the attorney general, was asked, is it a crime to question the outcome of an election? And he stumbled around and he wouldn't answer. And he's like, I don't understand. I can't hear. I can't hear the person ask me the question. He literally said, I can't hear you. Then the congressman asked again, is it a crime to question the outcome of an election in the United States of America? I don't understand. Your words were garbled. I didn't understand the question that time. Okay, third time. Is it a crime in America to question the outcome of an election? And he stumbled around. He goes, I don't even know. This is a hypothetical. I don't know. He doesn't want to answer it because he doesn't want to put it on the record for Trump's lawyers to use in every single case that they have, that the Attorney General of the United States answer eventually was a mumbled no, it is not a crime. He admitted it right there under oath. It is not a crime to question the outcome of an election. Now, I'll ask a simple question to follow up. Has Donald Trump done anything other than question the outcome of the election? Did he hire security forces to storm a building and go find records? Did he commit crimes to break in? He's not done anything except question the outcome. It ain't a crime, folks. Al Gore did it. Hillary Clinton did it. They all do it. It's not a crime. I thought that was a big moment for Donald Trump and his lawyers to have the attorney general on record forced to say it. And boy, it was hard. He didn't want to do it because he knew what he was giving him. Merrick Garland knew what he was giving Donald Trump with the very simple question under oath. Is it a crime in America to question the outcome of elections? And he wouldn't answer it. Wouldn't. And it was embarrassing. It was insulting the way that man was acting. And he finally said, no, that's not a crime. Ridiculous and insulting. Ted Cruz has a podcast, the senator from Texas. I like Ted Cruz. I think as he's gone on, he's become a little more Hollywood, a little more into himself, you know, that kind of thing. But that's all right. He's got his own podcast. And I'm going to play a clip for you. And this is a pretty long clip for KKH. I think this was about 2 minutes long. But it's good. The guy's on there with him. He's got a host. And they're talking about the Democrats and the media now attacking Joe Biden and what this means for the outcome of the election and what the election will look like next year in 2024. And I want you, as you listen to Ted Cruz, to think about whether or not you've heard this anywhere before.
If it's just the kingmaker saying, nope, we pick you, whoever doesn't get picked, everyone else is pissed. So here's the scenario that I think is perhaps most likely and most dangerous. In August of 2024, the Democrat kingmakers jettison Joe Biden and parachute in Michelle Obama. And I want you to pause and reflect on
that. Oh, I'm pausing and I'm reflecting as we, and so is everybody else listening right now.
I view this as a very serious danger.
I'm smiling right now because it terrifies me, and I also could totally see this happening.
So Michelle Obama, number one, you don't infuriate African-American women, which is a critical part of the constituency that Democrats are relying on to win. But number two, you avoid the problem. If you pick from any of the four, the other three are pissed because they're all, to some extent, peers, they're rivals, they're all jabbing knives at each other. Michelle Obama, because she was first lady, has the ability to kind of parachute in above all four and say, hey, we're not picking among any of you. You guys can all fight it out next time. You're all going to be on the same level. We're coming. This is the Obamas saving the day. And I think in terms of a solution that unifies Democrats, there ain't nothing like that. I also think Michelle is not all that eager to run for president, but to parachute in August of 24, a couple of months before the presidency, and suddenly wake up and be president?
Not a bad gig.
It's not a bad gig at all. Now, would she do it? I don't know. I've met Michelle, but I don't know her personally in any meaningful way. I don't know if she would do it. I do think Barack Obama is already running the Biden administration. I think he is already the puppet master behind this Biden White House. I don't think Joe Biden is the decision maker. And so when I see the media turning on Joe Biden right now, I think the odds of Michelle Obama parachuting in August of 2024 have risen dramatically, and that ought to scare the hell out of anyone who is unhappy about the direction this country is going and doesn't want us to go even crazier in an even worse direction.
All right, so Ted Cruz lays it out for you right there, and I've thought this all along, that the biggest nightmare for conservatives in America is Michelle Obama. She has said she doesn't want to run. Maybe there's something in her background. Maybe there's something out there. Maybe there's a reason why. But we all believe Obama's in charge. He said when he was president he wanted to be in charge after his presidency, that instead of being president, he'd just like to run things. And I think he is. And I think he's the most dangerous man in America and has been for 15 years or longer. And I'm not so sure that he's got the Michelle Obama part right. And I'm not so sure it matters, because Gavin Newsom is clearly acting the part right now, like he's the chosen one. Okay? He's complying. He's falling in line. He's saying wonderful things about Joe and Kamala. And then if the plug is pulled next summer, you know, as Cruz said there in August of next year, it could be Gavin Newsom. It may be a tough ask of Michelle Obama to do this, because I can't even imagine her as president. It's just unbelievable. And I would hope the American voters, if that happens, would go, uh-oh, this is a charade. This is not serious, and go the other way. I would hope that, but who knows? Ted Cruz is onto it as well. Marsha Blackburn is a senator from Tennessee. She put a nice post out on X yesterday. Very simple. Said Bidenomics, gas is up 64%, energy's up 43%, groceries are up 21%. That's all it said. That's all it said. I like Marsha Blackburn. That works for me. She's nailed it in really what Bidenomics is, and I just find it foolish and silly and stunning that the Biden White House is actually out there touting Bidenomics. It makes absolutely no sense in any meaningful way. And I think everybody would agree with that. I have to think even, it almost feels like it's part of the setup. Like if we're going to tear this guy down and put somebody else in, you know, while he's campaigning, let's really watch it implode. How can that be a serious battle cry for Joe Biden's reelection? It's impossible. It's an impossibility. Bidenomics. And I think we all feel it. We all feel it when we're spending every single month. But there are some liberals out there that are just as happy as can be. They love America with the liberals in charge. There can be nothing better than this. This is as good as it gets. We've become this woke country. We're allowing all these people crossing the border, record numbers streaming in right now. This is the perfect time of year to do it. Temperatures are cooling in the Southwest. It's not as hot to make the trek. It's perfect. Here they come. They're just flooding in. Everybody's happy. Guys like Howard Stern, who we have talked about on this podcast in the past and noted that he's neurotic and he's been treated for neurosis and he has all kinds of mental issues, willing to admit that. He put out a very interesting post on Wednesday. And I just feel bad when I read things like this, that this is the way you live your life. Look, I know the guy's got a lot of money. He's got fame and fortune and all these things, but my God, he's living in some kind of a cage. He must be. He must feel trapped in his own skin. This is his post. It's about CVS Pharmacy. Thank you, CVS. I went over there at 9 a.m. and got myself that new vaccine for COVID. Effing science! Exclamation point. This effing country is so great. Really? That's what gets you excited. You get excited about America because of a corporate pharmacy, a major corporation, pharmaceutical chains, and pharmaceutical big pharma around the globe. You're excited that they provide for you in order for them to make billions and billions of dollars, and the government provides for you a cheap flu, a cheap shot. Flu, you know, they keep calling this a vaccine. We don't call that with the flu. COVID and the flu are very similar. So is the cold. So are allergies. They're all very similar. We don't call it a flu vaccine. We ask, did you get your flu shot? This is big pharma. That's all it is. Why would you get a flu shot? The flu changes every year. They're guessing off of last year's flu what to put in your body this year with the flu. I'm so glad I've never taken a flu shot. I'm darn sure not taking a COVID shot. And the use of the word vaccine is a complete and utter joke. And guys like Howard Stern apparently either don't know that or they're just part of the scam. I don't know. Maybe he's got all kinds of Pfizer stock and Moderna and all of them. Maybe he's just loaded. His portfolio is loaded with these companies. Maybe that's what he's about. Maybe he didn't even get the shot. Maybe he's just promoting it to make more money for himself. I don't know. Who do you trust anymore? Do you really trust somebody that is excited that they ran out the second the new shot was available and went to CVS and got it and said, my God, this is a great country. And this is the way I want to celebrate my day. How frightened are you? How terrified are you every single day being around other human beings? That's an odd duck. But you know what? A lot of these liberals are weird. They're just weird. They're just scared, creepy, perverted, odd people that seem largely miserable. Not all, not everybody that votes for Democrats. Don't, I'm not trying to, you know who I'm talking about. You can spot them. You can see them and you know they're tortured. You know that their days are long and they fret and they worry and they're so wound up and tight and bundled up about one issue, whatever it is, whether it's COVID for Howard Stern or abortion for somebody else or gay rights for another person. It's, oh God, I woke up this morning and it still exists. Oh, I want an abortion. I want my shot. I want to be treated equally as a trans. You just wake up pissed. They're everywhere. And they're always one issue people. It's just one thing. Howard Stern's thing is clear. It's COVID. He's scared to death of it. He's terrified that he's going to die of COVID. He thinks he's the chosen one. That, yeah, it's really random. It's really random. And people don't really die of COVID. You can be sick of other things and get COVID, and it can be a contributing factor leading to your death. But he thinks he's the chosen one, that he hasn't had it so far, which he probably has, by the way. And when he gets it, he's the chosen one. It's just going to kill him dead. He's convinced of that. The life of a liberal. Wow. Hey, thanks to our friends at Advantage Termite and Pest Control for all the great work they've done for the Keatsmans over 20 years now. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is the only company we've used at our home. AdvantageTPC.com is presenting our final today. Call Aaron and his team at 913-768-8989 for Advantage Termite and Pest Control. North Kansas City Dental should be your new dentist. It's time for an appointment. You haven't been in a while and you know it. Come on, make the switch. NKCDental.com. 816-471-2911. Brand new building and offices, state-of-the-art. Dr. Bill Bush is the best. He's an award-winning dentist. He loves America, and he loves talking football. What more could you want from your dentist? NKCDental.com, two locations, Armour and Swift, north of the river, and Westwood, which is kind of West Plaza. And Great Life, play more golf. Did you know Great Life Golf has several municipal golf courses around the area? They're inexpensive to play. It's one time only. You don't have to join a club at Great Life. They've got courses all over Kansas City. Visit greatlifegolf.com, greatlifegolf.com, and check out all of their golf courses around town. It's the best time of year to play golf. The weather is fantastic. Go play. If you only play once a year, go play. There are places that Great Life has where you'll feel welcome even if you shoot 105. Just go out and have some fun. Pick a Great Life course online near you off the website and make a tee time and go play. It's inexpensive, it's fun, it's a great day out, and the weather is gorgeous. GreatLifeGolf.com. Be sure and mention you listen to the podcast when you're there and you're having fun playing golf with your friends and family. GreatLifeGolf.com. Our final is a wild one, folks. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Colonial School District in Pennsylvania. Oh, no, you're going to like this one. This is not some creepy, you know, sex book they're teaching to the kindergarten kids or anything like that. No, no, this is a fun one. Colonial School District in Pennsylvania has three grade schools, and they have opened up this fall what they're calling Twindergarten for the five-year-olds. Twindergarten. Why is it Twindergarten? This school district, unbelievably, has 17 sets of twins entering kindergarten at the same time. That's unbelievable. There are three grade schools. One of them has seven sets coming, another has six, and the other has four. Teachers are cracking jokes right and left that this is not going to be easy, and it is not going to be easy. I mean, it's hard. If they're not your twins, it's hard to tell them apart. You do name tags? What do you do here? Can you imagine a school district with three grade schools? taking in 17 sets of twins in the same fall in kindergarten. That's got to be some sort of Guinness record. I've never heard of such a thing. Twindergarten is open at the Colonial School District in Pennsylvania. That's a little thing we call our final final. We like to have a little fun with that if we can. Also want to remind everybody, if you want to become a patron, go to kksissues.com on your computer or your laptop and sign up. It takes less than 5 minutes. We're going to be doing Lee Sterling's Thursday night pick tonight, his selection for Thursday night for patrons only. Danny Klinkscale will join us for BTL 2.0. We'll preview the Chiefs and all the college games, KU, K-State, and Missouri. We do a lot of college content on the patron podcasts. If you'd like to join, it's kksissues.com. It's only $5 a month. We do a newsletter on the weekend that I think you will like, so please feel free to go join. And remember, if you don't remember all our sponsors or you want to patronize a great conservative business, we've created our own list. Many of these businesses are not sponsors you hear on the podcast. But if you want a go-to site to know that you're dealing with conservatives, we've vetted them. It's called thekklist.com, thekklist.com. And these are all people we know or have vetted. And if you would like to list your business there as a conservative business owner, just click on join the list. Go to the site, click on join the list, sets an email up straight to Jessica, and she'll tell you how we'll do it. Thekklist.com is your go-to source for goods and services from conservatives in our area that make your life better, and you know you're doing business with people you know and trust. Thekklist.com from Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.